John the Immerser was truly a great man. Jesus said there was none greater among those born of women in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He sought no honor among men, but said Christ must increase and he himself must decrease. John 3, verse 30. Though he sought no honor among men, he certainly had it. The crowds flocked to him, and even King Herod feared him. Not only did he not seek honor among men, but he didn't fear any man. When in the presence of King Herod, who had the power to kill his physical body, he did not speak softly to hinder the truth in any way, but he proclaimed it boldly that it was not right for him to have his brother's wife. I pray, and I hope we all pray, that God would raise up Johns among us who will not hide the truth, but will proclaim it with power, no matter what the consequences are. My name is Stephen Medford. I'm your host this morning for the Monday edition of Mornings for the Master. And we are going to talk about John the Baptist, but more, we're going to talk about Herod in this lesson. We are studying through the book of Luke, and today I'm just going to look at two verses in the book of Luke, but I'm going to jump to Mark chapter 6, verses 16 through 28, to get more of what is going on here that Luke does not record. As much as we would delight to talk about the noble character of John, and we've been doing that through these lessons, we're going to spend most of the time talking about that fox, Herod. Now, when I started these lessons on Luke, my goal was to focus on Luke's account of the histories concerning Christ and the context in which Luke puts them. And while I would reference other Gospels, I didn't want to bring their accounts into the main point or the spotlight of the lessons. However, for the purposes of this lesson, I think there's a lot here that we need to discuss, and I desire to turn our attention to Mark's account for the interaction between John the Baptist and Herod, because he gives us, I believe, the narrative in greater detail, probably in the greatest detail of any of the Gospels. So we will think much about the character of Herod, because while we may not have many Johns in the church today, which are badly needed, I do think we have a lot of Herods in the church. And it will become apparent, I think, as we talk about Herod, that many people are indeed like him. First, we're going to notice the many good traits that Herod had, and if we fail to have these traits, we should strive to possess them. And then next, we're going to see the traits that Herod possessed that were bad. These good traits were not enough. And then quickly, we're going to look at John and what John was telling Herod and how John was telling him. First, Luke chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, sorry, 19 and 20, say, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which he had done, added this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Now look over at Mark 6, verses 16 through 28, and we're going to see a little more of all the things that transpired between Herod and John. Starting in verse 16, it mentions that Jesus went around doing miracles. And in verse 16, it says, "But when Herod heard, he said, 'This is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a holy and just man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officials, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you.' He also swore to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give to you, up to half my kingdom.' So she went out and said to her mother, 'What shall I ask?' And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. So first, as we consider these things, there's a lot of emotion that goes through my mind as we think about this. But I want us to notice the quality that Herod possessed that were good, these qualities that Herod possessed that are good. Look at verse 20. It says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him, and he heard him, and did many things, and heard him gladly." First, we notice that Herod respected justice and holiness. It says, he feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy man. It seems to be getting more prevalent that people care less and less about what is right and holy today. They themselves are not righteous and not holy, and they ridicule those that are. Herod was not like this, although many people around him, I'm sure, were. Although he himself was not just and holy, he had fear for that which was just and holy. This is the first step in becoming a just and holy person yourself, recognizing that justice and holiness is the way that's best, even when you yourself are not just and holy. We too need to recognize what is just and holy and understand that that is best and have respect and even fear those that are just and holy when they represent God, when they speak on the holiness of God and so forth. So Herod here feared John because he was just and holy. But Herod didn't stop there. He admired the man in whom he saw justice and holiness. That's what it means to fear. There are many people that admire the idea of justice and holiness, but when they see a person which possesses the traits, they become envious or ashamed of themselves and immediately develop hatred toward that person. Often these people will speak well of holiness and righteousness, and they might even speak well of the holy and righteous man when they are in the presence of other people. But inside, they despise them and talk evil of them and in private, in the privacy of their own home. Especially if people have children, we should openly fear and honor those who possess justice and holiness, those who have a just and holy spirit, so we can raise them up and lift them up and desire the same and admire them and try to develop these characteristics in our own self as well as those around us and especially our children. Herod feared John. He didn't just tolerate him, but he protected him from Herodias and enjoyed hearing him. It might be that you are happy around God's people and uncomfortable around profane people. Well, you are doing well. So good so far. You have an idea of fear and respect for justice and holiness, but you have to go even further than that, or you may end up like Herod. So here, Herod feared John, and this caused him to do things. First, we see that he protected John. Now, of course, Herod being the king had lots of power, and he had legal authority to condemn or to acquit citizens of his domain. But this was not just a legal matter that was brought before him concerning the people with whom he had no day-to-day dealings and maybe he cared little about. John's conduct could have easily been seen as being very much against Herod himself. There are a couple of passages I think about when we consider this. You remember in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 16. Paul says, "Have I become your enemy by being truthful to you? Because I tell you the truth." In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "Do not rebuke a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." And I'm also reminded of Jeremiah. Right now we're going through Jeremiah at home with my children. And in Jeremiah 38 and verse 4, that verse ends by people that, well, they were going to the king and saying that we need to get rid of Jeremiah. It says, "For this man is not seeking our welfare, but our harm." And John's conduct toward Herod could have been easily seen to be like that. But John still protected him. So not only did John, not only did Herod not see that John's conduct was against him, he understood that he was a just and holy man, but consider that there was an apparent constant nagging from his wife. When she was offered anything that she could have, the first thing she thought of, the first thing that she desired, the thing she wanted most was the head of John. This is something that consumed her, and it was against her will, and her husband was protecting the man. You can imagine what that did to their relationship, and yet John still protected him. Now, we can't always protect to the extent that John, or that, sorry, I'm messing up the names. We can't always protect to the extent that Herod could, because he was the king. But a lot of times we are around people that might talk negatively toward the Bible, toward those who are trying to live righteous lives. They might make fun of them. And we can protect them in those situations. We can stand up for the truth. We can stand up for the people that we deem just and holy. And so we can protect people like that as well. And indeed, we should, just like Herod. Herod did good in this. But we're going to see, of course, even if we fear just and holy man and protect them, that's still not enough. Herod not only feared and protected John, but consider he listened to him. He heard him. Now, it is good that you are listening to stations like this and you're listening to the sermon. And many people gather together every Sunday to hear the word of God proclaimed, as they should. But it was really unusual for Herod to hear John. In those days, kings often cared little about the common man, especially individuals. Concerning John, he had rough clothes, he had meager means. His speech was no doubt rough and blunt and plain. It was not polished. He had been raised in the wilderness. Not only was all that against him, but John was condemning Herod for his marriage. And John listened to him anyway. When people are unwilling to change to fit the truth, they often change from the preacher who's preaching the truth to something else. They won't listen to him. They go other places. They try to avoid him. But Herod listened to John. It is good that the work and words of God are proclaimed and heard. Those who hear it are blessed for their hearing of it. Some may occasionally listen to the word of God, but we do well to listen to it regularly. And I think that's the idea here. Herod listened to John. Yet even though people come regularly to hear the word of God every Sunday, every Wednesday, maybe you read it every day, you must still do more, because Herod listened to John. And I want to make another point here, that Herod not only listened to John, but he heard him gladly. Many refuse to hear altogether, but a lot of people hear kind of unwillingly. They may come because their parents want them to come. They may come because of other families want them to come. They may come because their friends and relatives are around them and they don't want to look bad in their presence. And I suppose that's good to have those feelings. I suppose there are some who come willingly, like these that I just mentioned, but they're still not gladly coming. They will to come because they don't want to be embarrassed or something like that. They feel a sense of responsibility, and they know it's the right thing to do, so they make themselves do it, but they still don't feel the gladness. Herod probably called John to hear him on occasion because he was glad to hear him. And we should be glad when we have the opportunity to hear the truth. We should rejoice in the truth. And there are many scriptures that come to my mind, particularly in Psalm 119, where David talks about how he rejoiced to hear the truth. That's Psalm 119. And Psalm 19, you have scriptures like, it's better than honey, more valuable than gold, and so forth. So we should be glad to hear the truth. We should desire it. Now, there are many good people that hear the word of God, and yet they stop at this. We are warned many times in the Bible about this, but this was not what Herod was like. When Herod heard, he obeyed. He did many things. That verse tells us, verse 20, we're still in. This is Mark chapter 6 and verse 20. He did many things. He obeyed. Many people learn the way, know the way, and sometimes even defend the way, and maybe are experts in the way, but they themselves don't follow the way. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees often because of this. But Herod did many things. The Bible warns us about not being a follower of the word once you hear it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus ends the great Sermon on the Mount by talking about the two ways in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And then he talks about false teachers. And then he says, many are going to say to me on that day that they did many things. And he's going to declare to them, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. They heard the truth. He ends the sermon by saying, those who hear the word of God and do it are like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it didn't fall. But those who hear the words of mine and do not do them are like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And of course, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell. And Jesus says, great was its fall. We have to hear the words of God and do them. Again, in James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. John was not deceived in the thinking he was good enough for hearing, but he did many things. We don't just read he did some things, but he did many things. Often people do a few things and think they've paid their due. Maybe they think if they do more righteous deeds than evil deeds, that they are okay. Herod did not stop with a few things, but he did many things. You are not like those who only do a little, I'm sure. You're listening to this station. You do many things, and this is good. Herod should be admired for doing many things, and we should be like that too. But if we want to be better than Herod, which we must be, we still have to do more. Herod stopped at doing many things and not all the things. But talking about the good traits of Herod, I want to add another point here, and this is that he kept his word. It seems this is a dying characteristic of mankind. Often people say things, but it is no worry if they can't make these things come true. They don't worry about it. They just blow it off. If it hinders them, they promise to do something, but if it hinders them in the least, they find an excuse for it. It's a rare thing to find a person that is willing to do something that is against him, even though it is the right thing to do. I'm reminded of Psalm 15 and verse 4. In Psalm 15, the psalm starts out talking about who can abide in the presence of God or who can live in God's holy house. And in verse 4, it says, in his eyes, talking about the person who can get to heaven, in whose eyes the rejected one is contemptible, but he honors those who respect Yahweh. He takes a yoke, he takes an oath to his own injury and does not retract it. He says he's going to do something. When it comes out that doing it will actually hurt him, he keeps his word. If we want to get to heaven, the Bible says this is the type of person we need to be. Herod said he would give Herodias' daughter anything up to half his kingdom. And though he didn't want to do it, he gave what she asked. Now, he may have had bad motives, but this is a good characteristic of John that we should possess. When we say we're going to do something, we should do it. Of course, if we find out that it's wrong, we need to retract it. We shouldn't sin. But wanting to keep his word, that is a good characteristic. We need to examine ourselves like this. Are we like this? Do we want to keep our words? And one more thing that I want to mention about Herod is that his conscience was tender. Some people have a hardened conscience. They can sin and never feel any guilt. Herod would not leave his lust for his wife, but he would not give Herodias, he would not give in to Herodias and kill John. Even once he killed John, it bothered him. When he heard about the miracles of Jesus, what did he think? John has risen from the dead. When Christ really did rise, it was hard to get many people to believe, but despite the evidence. But in this case, there's no real evidence. This is just hearsay, but John's conscience is so tender, his mind is unsettled, and he obviously thinks, this is John, he's coming back to get me. He felt guilt. He felt he was going to be punished because of the sins he had committed. We would do well that when we sin, we are so bothered by it that we make things right. Of course, Herod never made things right, but the fact that he was bothered by his sin shows he had a worried conscience. He had a conscience that bothered him. And this is a good thing. Sin should bother us. Of course, it never led Herod to do what was right. But the fact that he was bothered by it is a good thing, that many people aren't even bothered by sin. Now let's notice some things that he lacked. What was really going on here? Herod goes down in history as a horrible person. While the Bible says he feared John, he would have done better to fear John's master. Now, too many people fear other people and not God himself. If we have the fear of man in us, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be led down the wrong path. Now, if it's the fear of man that is trying to preach God's word, then we fear him because of what he's preaching. And that is the word of God. We need to make sure we go past the man, the messenger, even good men, and we should fear the God that they're representing. We don't need to fear elders, preachers, parents. We don't need to fear anyone else unless they have God-given authority for the things they're saying and doing. And in that, we fear them because we fear God. He did not take the whole word of God. He feared man instead of fearing God. And he did many things. He took much of the word of God, but he didn't take the whole word of God. Many today are like this. They want that verse. They want this other verse. I think about denominations today. I think that's the reason we have denominations. So many denominations claim these verses as their own, and then they do away with other verses that seem to contradict these verses. Well, we're saved by faith. And so they say we're saved by faith alone. And so they throw away the idea of baptism. They throw away the idea of being justified by works, as James chapter 2 teaches. Because that contradicts seemingly in their own mind being saved by faith. We need to take the entire word of God. In Psalm 119 verse 160, it says, the entirety of thy word is truth. The sum of thy word is truth. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which is a quote from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. We need to live by every word. God gave us the entire Bible, and it is all important. And like this, Herod did many things, but he did not do all the things that were commanded him. We need to make sure that when we find something recorded for us in the Bible, we obey it. We cannot pick and choose what we're going to do, what we will have and what we won't have. I've heard it said that a lot of people view the Bible and view religion as a buffet. You go down the line, you pick and get the things you want, and you forget about the things that you don't. We can't do that. We have to have all the Word of God. And so because of the things that he lacked here, what became of Herod? Well, he ended up killing someone that he admired. I want you to consider that sin has a way of growing. If we don't take care of sin, it can still be there, and it will grow. A lot of times we think we sin, and maybe in our mind, we're sorry we sin, and we don't want to be like that. Herod put John in prison. He knew it was the wrong thing to do, but sin has a way of growing and becoming worse and worse. If you look at Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it talks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And you go down, verse 24, it says that God gave them over in the desire of their hearts to immorality, that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And so God gives them over to their sin, and they become more sinful. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to degrading passions, and they become more sinful. And then in verse 28, just as they did not see fit to recognize God, God gave them over to a debased mind, and they become more sinful. God gives them over to these things. Sin has a way of growing. We need to take care of it while it's small. Get rid of it. Repent. Don't let it grow in your heart. And so sin grew inside of Herod. And once he killed John the Baptist, he lived a life of fear. We can comfort, and we can have comfort of God. We can have assurance of God only when we are right with God. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear includes punishment. The one who is afraid has not been perfected in love. If we continue to sin, we fear punishment. But if we truly love and our love is perfected, we love God, we're going to live for him. We're not going to live a life of sin. And Herod lived a life of fear because he knew he was wrong. He knew he was condemned. He knew judgment was coming. So that's looking at some of the things Herod had. His good points. He admired justice. He admired truthfulness. He admired holiness. He feared these things. He admired them. He heard the word of God. He heard the word of God gladly. He protected John and so forth. He had all these good things, but these things weren't good enough. We need to go beyond Herod. Now let's turn our attention and notice some very important things from the teaching of John to Herod. First, I want you to consider what John preached. He said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. First, we see that Herodias was the wife of Philip, or Herod II. According to the laws of the land, Herodias had divorced Philip and Herod and married Herod Antipas, which is the Herod of this text. And Herod had also divorced his first wife, Phasaelus. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Then, according to the laws of the land, these two married each other. Now, the Bible records that Herodias was Philip's wife. Marriage ultimately takes place in the mind of God. Jesus declared that it is God who joins couples together in Matthew 19, verse 6. Man does not have the power to join together, and therefore man does not have the power to separate this marriage. Although Herodias had divorced Philip according to man's laws, God said they were still married. It is also mentioned in Matthew 19 that the only way to lawfully separate from a married person so that you can marry another is when your first spouse has been put away for the cause of fornication, which is sexual immorality. So Herodias was married to Philip. Herodias was Philip's wife. That is an important point. It's extremely important who we marry, because you cannot get out of marriage. If your spouse is still living, you are married to them unless they have been put away for fornication. I want to add here, Jesus did not say that in Matthew 19, that the only reason to separate from your spouse is fornication. A lot of people teach that. I do not believe that. I don't think Jesus is teaching that. He does say that fornication is the only thing that can end the marriage and free you to marry another person if your spouse is still alive. But Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 16, that there may be other reasons to leave. If you do leave, Paul says in that text, you have to remain unmarried or be reconciled to your spouse. So some people do not believe they can leave their spouse unless they have committed fornication, unless their spouse has committed fornication. Paul says, if the unbeliever is not willing to live with you, you can leave. I do not believe God would desire you to live in a situation where you're constantly being threatened, when you're constantly being beaten, when your children are being abused. You need to get out for your own safety. You need to get out for the safety of your children. But that gives you no right to marry another person. That marriage is not annulled unless there is fornication involved. Marriage is extremely serious, and we need to make sure that our children know what we are getting into when we get married, because God designed marriage for life. It's in the mind of God, and we cannot separate that marriage. Now, to repeat this same point in another way, some marriages are not lawful. If you have been previously married to someone other than your current spouse, and you did not put away the previous spouse for the cause of fornication, your current marriage is unlawful and should be dissolved. This is what John was getting at. While divorcing your spouse may have been a sin, it is a one-time act that can be forgiven. But being married to another person who is not your lawful spouse is an ongoing sin, and it cannot be forgiven unless you repent. In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, it talks about the fact that you have to repent or you are going to perish. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. It says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral people, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor passive homosexual partners, nor dominant homosexual partners, nor thieves, nor greedy persons, nor drunkards, nor abusive persons, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And some of you were these things, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the Spirit of the Lord our God." So he mentions these people cannot get into heaven, and among those are the sexually immoral and adulterers. If you are married to someone who is not your spouse according to God, you are an adulterer, and in that situation, you cannot get to heaven. But in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, it says some of these people were in that situation, but they were sanctified and justified. They were cleansed of that because they repented and were baptized and their sins were washed away. But in order to repent, you have to get out of the sin. So that's the first thing I want us to notice about the preaching of John. He preached that it's not lawful for Herod to have his brother Philip's wife. She was still Philip's wife, no matter what the laws of the land said. Marriage is God's design. It is God's law. Second thing about John that I want you to notice is how he preached it. I know I have said some of these things before in previous lessons, but John was such an amazing person. His character should be repeated often, and we should strive to develop it. First of all, he had amazing courage. He spoke the truth directly in the presence of a king who could apparently end his life with just a word, which he did. John was not afraid of any earthly kings who had the power to destroy the body, but he feared the King of Kings who could destroy the body and soul in hell, Matthew 10:28. He was also persistent in his preaching. You can imagine that if he just told Herod one time, it could have been easily overlooked and Herodias wouldn't have thought about it. But apparently this is something that he repeatedly said. In fact, the Lexham English Bible starts out Mark 16 verse 18 this way. It says, "For John had been saying to Herod." It's a continual thing. It's an imperfect tense, which means it's an ongoing action. It wasn't viewed as something that was completed. And so he had been saying these things. He continued to say. In our efforts to save souls, we need to repeatedly remind people and encourage people to do the right thing. Now, we need to be cautious because we don't want to drive people further away by constant nagging, but lovingly and patiently seek to persuade them. If they do get mad at us and we do drive them further away, we haven't really lost anything because they're not saved in the first place. So we don't need to be worried so much about that. If they don't hear the truth, they can never repent. They can never be saved. Jesus himself drove many people away. That's why they put him on the cross. And so we need to be preaching constantly to other people, trying to teach them in a way that will bring them to Christ. And the last thing that I want to say about John's teaching is that it was done with love. We don't read this in the text, but I know that it's true because only love could cause you to risk your life in an effort to save another person. Jesus said, "No greater love has one for another than that he lay down his life for his friend." John was willing to lay down his life to get other people into heaven, to get the king into heaven. We must be courageous. We must be persistent in our efforts to save others. And nothing is going to keep us courageous and persistent more than our love for other people. And that's really the entire lesson. I hope you have enjoyed it. But as we conclude, I want us to consider the reactions to teaching of the Word of God. We have different reactions here. Herod simply puts up with it. He listens, he obeys many things that he wants to obey, but when he doesn't want to obey, he just doesn't. Many people in the church are like that. They're willing to come, they're willing to listen, they may hear gladly, but they don't want to obey fully, and so they just continue to come and everything's okay. They just put up with it. And again, Jesus says, be careful of being just a hearer of the word and not a doer. Herodias, on the other hand, seeks to kill John and ends up doing that. She gets mad at the messenger, and a lot of people have this reaction. I think about all the prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus, all the apostles in the New Testament. People got mad. The church was persecuted. A lot of people get mad. They don't want to listen to it. We need to consider what type of person we are. Are we a person who listens, and we might listen gladly, but we just don't do anything? Or are we people that get mad? There's a lot of people that hear the truth of the church and they want to leave the church. They want to ridicule the church. We can't be like that either. Some people will obey in sincerity. You have the example that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. These people were in marriages that were wrong, and they repented, and they got clean. In Ezra chapter 10, we have recorded for us a number of people who had children by marriages that were unlawful, and they willingly put them away. As we conclude this lesson, I want you to consider, whenever you hear the Word of God, not just these lessons on the radio, but no matter where it comes from, when you're studying the Bible yourself, when you're in a church assembly, what type of person are you? You're probably not the person that gets mad because you wouldn't be listening to the radio. But are you the person that just hears and maybe hears gladly, but you're not doing what you know is right? You need to repent, lest you end up like John. Lest you end up like Herod. Don't be the person who just hears and doesn't do anything. Make sure you're doing the Word of God. If we can assist you in any way along these lines, I pray that you'd let us know. You can contact us in different ways. You can call us at 1-844-4-TGRN. That's 1-844-367-8476. Or you can email us at mornings@tgrn.org. Or you can email me at Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, @tgrn.org. TGRN, of course, for the Gospel Radio Network. If we can assist you in any way, we would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening.